On Tuesday's front page, hospitals are upset about a new Medicare plan. The government plans to reward hospitals that hold down costs and penalize hospitals that don't. Many Japanese still approve of nuclear power, even after the Daiichi Fukushima disaster. We'll look at why. And are people giving up on home ownership for other investments? We'll look at whether there's been a paradigm shift about the importance of owning your home. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Medicare is about to start rewarding hospitals that hold down costs and penalizing hospitals that don't. The Obama administration is setting up Medicare spending per beneficiary as a new measure of hospital performance, just like the mortality rate for heart attack patients and the infection rate for surgery patients. Hospitals could be held accountable not only for the cost of the care they provide, but also for the cost of services performed by doctors and other healthcare providers in the 90 days after a Medicare patient goes home. That's drawing fire from hospital officials. They say they don't have much control over services provided after a patient is discharged. Often they don't even know about them. They also say the measures for efficiency that Medicare is using haven't been tested. Also on Tuesday's front page, why Japan continues to support nuclear power. There's been no grassroots opposition in communities near Japan's 54 reactors. So far, the crisis at the Fukushima Daiichi power station has touched off only a muted public outcry. That's largely because the Tokyo government has bought the support of local communities, or at least bought their silence. Towns with reactors get subsidies, payouts, and jobs. In 2009 alone, Tokyo spent $1.15 billion on communities that host electric plants. Experts say that's just the beginning. In Kashima, which will soon have three reactors, there's a sports park with a $35 million gym and an Olympic-sized volleyball arena. Egypt's Coptic Christian minority has been worried since the ouster of former President Hosni Mubarak. For years, he protected the Copts from Muslim resentment. In the time since Mubarak was brought down, clashes between Muslims and Copts have left 15 dead and more than 200 wounded. Three churches have been burned. The military council that's running the country has blamed Mubarak loyalists. Last week, Egypt's flagship newspaper said sectarian violence is the primary threat to the revolution. Also on Tuesday's front page, the desire to own your own home seems to be going the way of the Model T. The economy is recovering, at least fitfully, but home ownership dropped from 69.2% in 2004 to 66.4% last year. That's what it was back in 1998. Some housing experts say it could end up at 1980 levels or even lower. Disenchantment with real estate is bound to rise on Tuesday. The most widely watched housing index is all but guaranteed to show prices of existing homes sank in March. That would put prices below the lows reached 2 years ago, which had been the bottom of the housing crash. Hookahs are popular on college campuses where students say the smoke is less dangerous than smoke from cigarettes. Researchers say it's not. Hookah smokers are taking in a blend of tobacco, molasses, and fruit. Researchers say the water in a hookah does not filter out the harmful chemicals in tobacco smoke. That has regulators concerned. Oregon, Connecticut, and California are considering banning or limiting hookah bars. Boston has closed a loophole in its indoor smoking laws that allowed hookah bars to flourish. New York lawyer Stephen Simkin is suing his ex-wife. He wants a do-over on their divorce deal. They've been divorced since 2006. They split their assets, and then he invested half with Bernard Madoff. She didn't. Now he wants her to turn over millions from her part of the settlement to make up for what he lost in Madoff's Ponzi scheme. The case is before New York's top court. Some lawyers say it could open the floodgates for people who want to challenge agreements that go sour. Inside Tuesday's Times, President Obama nominated a new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. General Martin Dempsey will help steer the armed forces through conflicts in three Muslim countries. General Dempsey only recently assumed his current job as Chief of the Army. Now he'll replace Admiral Mike Mullen, whose term ends on September 30th. Mr. Obama also announced that he's nominating Admiral James Winfield to be Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. An about-face in Germany, The German government is closing 9 older nuclear plants. Chancellor Angela Merkel is looking to appease Germany's anti-nuclear movement. Word of the closings came after marathon talks. It'll take 10 years to shut them down. China's economy is slowing, but inflation remains a concern. The big question now is when the authorities who control China's money supply shift to revving the growth engine again. Some experts say inflation is so much a part of the Chinese economy that the government may have to keep the brakes on for some time. Canada is in no hurry to sell Fiat its stake in Chrysler. The government of Canada and the province of Ontario still own about 1.7% of Chrysler's stock. Canadian Finance Minister Jim Flaherty met with Chrysler and Fiat Chief Executive Sergio Marchionne. Flaherty says Canada will let the investment process unfold in the U.S. Fiat announced plans last week to buy the U.S. government's remaining shares in Chrysler. Here in New York, Korean groceries are disappearing. They say they can't cover the rent anymore. Koreans still dominate the small grocery business in New York, but their ranks are thinning as they face the same forces that threaten other mom-and-pop operations. Besides higher rent, there's competition online. There are also more inspections from city agencies, and that can mean fines and penalties. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.